There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Another couple hours of live local talk, and we are talking locally, but doing it remotely or something to that effect, as we are live at the Federation for American Immigration Reform Hold Their Feet to the Fire event here in Washington, D.C. Jeff Poore and I are here with FM Talk, and we'll be doing this today and tomorrow. And maybe Jeff has some extra stuff coming up on Friday. I don't know. I haven't dug into it nearly enough. We were ending his show kind of talking about the sights and sounds of the nation's capital. And as that was happening, our friend, frequent co-host and host of his own show, that when he's not guest hosting this show on WVNN in Huntsville, Yaffe is here. And he added to the list of things that have been seen. Hey, good afternoon.
Unfortunately, yeah. Glad to be here.
So, because Jeff and I were rolling, and we're going to get to the show. We got Putin, and we have President Biden's speech at the UN, and we have immigration to talk about. And we're going to get to all that, but now the hard-hitting stuff. So, the weed smoke, the guy that ran in with no shirt to the place I was eating breakfast, screaming that he had no shirt on and tempting them to throw him out.
I missed that.
And then, you know, I thought it was a big deal that guy had no shirt on. You walked out this morning from our hotel to what?
Yeah, at least that guy had the rest of his clothes on. There was a woman walking outside the hotel, broad daylight, public area, nothing.
Nothing on.
She had a towel or a shirt around her shoulders, so didn't cover up anything.
Well, but keep the chill off.
Yeah. And she's just walking around, and that's the first thing I saw as I walked out of the hotel. And I really hope nobody got video of this, because I should have been, like, nice, tried to help or something.
Right.
No. The video is me walking completely the other direction as fast as possible.
Pretend you didn't see her and just walking briskly.
Because I was like, I don't know what to do here.
So, once again, so Yaffe and I are both just giving you a flavor of the nation's capital on this September afternoon.
I will say, it's a little bit better than the last time I was here. The last time I was here, getting off Union Station, I mean, there was a giant homeless camp.
Right.
Everywhere. I don't see that.
I went in there because I had to hit up the Walgreens yesterday to get supplies. Which is a strange, that Walgreens is strange as it is. That's another show. The encampment was not in there.
Yeah.
It was open, and, you know, people were actually just going to get on trains, which luckily Amtrak, you know, the strike was averted so people could be traveling in there.
Well, that's true. Right. I mean, I don't know if that affected the Metro, but...
I think you get on Amtrak there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right, so a lot to talk about here. On the reason we're here is immigration and discussion of immigration, but that quickly goes to something I heard you've talked about, you and Dale were talking about as well, and Jeff, and that is a discussion of Florida's governor.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a pretty good discussion last. I think he's winning at all ends on this.
I agree.
People go, well, you know what he's doing is a stunt. Yeah, sure it is. I agree with that. But it's very successful. It has brought more attention to the immigration issue than even all radio shows here. I mean, there's booth after booth after booth of us talking about this, to talk about it every year. And the governor of Florida, don't you know, Abbott goes, God dang it.
I know. I thought that today.
That Abbott's going, this was my thing, and now you're doing it. But Ron DeSantis is doing just great work and more attention brought to this issue than ever before.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, think about it. We were not talking about really this issue at all. It was still going on. The issue was still there. It's been going on for years.
Yes.
But the mainstream media wasn't talking about it. It's been all over the mainstream media. Now they're talking about it to try to bash DeSantis and Republicans. But they're still talking about it, and even Jake Tapper, in an interview, I think this week, I think it was, he was talking with Eric Adams, and he said, well, you kind of agree then that Biden isn't really doing his job when it comes to immigration. The fact that Jake Tapper even went down that road shows how effective DeSantis is at doing what he did, putting attention on it.
And so the next step in this is, you know, the today, this update here, the office of Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday slammed the class action suit filed by illegal immigrants flown to Martha's Vineyard last week, saying the journey was done on a voluntary basis. So this gets into the question. So there's, if you go online, look, there's 2,500 stories about how the illegality. Okay, which is cracking me up because, so the illegality of people crossing the border illegally is not of interest. It's the question of the legality of flying them from one place in the country where they were illegal to another place in the country where they're still illegal.
Well, what you'll notice, too, is the vast majority of those stories, probably all of them, they don't ever mention a crime. They never specifically cite a crime, a criminal statute. So what was illegal? They're saying, well, they were misled. It's kind of like human trafficking.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so let's go to that. So that next part of it, what came out yesterday from DeSantis's office is these, not only these folks, have they've talked to him and said they were okay with it, they signed consents. Mm-hmm. They signed a form like a, you know, the thing you got to sign to go on the field trip with, you know, the school or whatever. They signed a consent thing. They were going on a field trip to Martha's Vineyard. So, and just a side note, too, if your choice was you cross the border illegally, you could be held there or let go, you know, right there on the South Texas border, which is kind of hot this time of year. Or you can go to Martha's Vineyard, which is gorgeous in September, right?
It looked very nice when I saw the video. Yeah.
This is, but I mean, once again, this is, yes, is it political theater as the detractors say? They're correct, it is. But it is the best fulcrum that has been used for this conversation, I think, yet.
Well, it can be two things at once. It can be political theater, but it can also be true in that Martha's Vineyard and, you know, Greg Abbott's been sending them to D.C. Those cities claim to be sanctuary cities. Well, what's the definition of a sanctuary city? One that sanctuary
does not enforce federal immigration law.
Yeah. And the literal definition of sanctuaries gives them relief and safety. Mm-hmm. And so why aren't they doing that? That's on Martha's Vineyard, right?
Right. And you could, well, here's one thing that if you take them to New York, you take them here to Washington, there's an easier time for just the things we just said for that to blend in, right? And it maybe doesn't get as much attention. You'll have Muriel Bowser complaining about, we don't have, you know, we don't have what Texas has. Oh, you know, whatever. Give me a break.
Wow.
But you drop them off in Martha's Vineyard, they show up. They're seen. Right? I mean, you go to a big city and drop off a busload of 50 or 100 people. They're not just the nature. Look outside where we are right now. They're not seen. You drop them off in Martha's Vineyard. And you drop them off in one of these sanctuary cities. Let's find all the sanctuary cities that have median real estate prices of $3 to $4 million and start dropping them off there. And they show up. They get noticed.
Yep, exactly. Well, and that's what, when you talk about messaging, that's why it was so effective, because they got noticed. It was so noticed that Martha's Vineyard put out on Twitter it was a humanitarian crisis, which is a little bit overblown. But
a humanitarian crisis.
That's what they said.
So what has it been on the border all the rest of the time?
I don't know. Party, I guess. Good time.
Like the people that are streaming across the border at unprecedented numbers, risking everything. Right. And that open border incentivizes people taking this incredibly risky trip, because once again, the committing of the crime is my issue. I my heart goes out to people that would risk everything to travel through the night and their children and, you know, go through deserts and all that. We're incentivizing, by not enforcing the border, we're incentivizing people to take that risk. So you were talking about a humanitarian crisis. Leaving an open border is a humanitarian crisis.
Indeed.
You know, some people get themselves to Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, that's a vacation is usually what we would call that.
Oh,
now,
gosh,
now, you talked about, you know, what's going on. The only problem I would say I have with this, and I really don't, but the migrants probably love this. So when a migrant hears that DeSantis is sending planes to Martha's Vineyard, do you think they're upset?
No.
They probably love it. So in a way, this almost encourages them more.
But you have to win the lottery to do that. Out of the, where were we at? 200,000 apprehensions in the last month?
Yeah.
Right? So 50 got the golden ticket to go to Martha's Vineyard.
Over $3 million since Biden's been in office.
But I'm just saying in the last month, I think it was 202 or 3,000. I don't have it in front of me. But and only 50 got to go to Martha's Vineyard. So the incentive of making the magical trip to Martha's is probably, you know.
But my point is, I think they're acting like this is inhumane. And I'm like, you talk to the migrants, they're happy. They love this. This is great to them.
If you're given a choice of, you know, being there on the South Texas border in September or going to Martha's Vineyard for a little bit, it's a
And what I don't understand is why they kicked them out. I mean, there's plenty of empty rooms there.
That's right. It's off season.
Jobs, right?
Yeah, and it's off season. You know? People got to, you know, in the sanctuary city there, Martha's Vineyard. Why don't they open their doors to folks? Why don't they do that?
Yeah, it was hilarious watching them clap their hands as okay, bye, yay, hugs. Okay, bye, bye.
Yeah, because that's a what did Bowser say here? It was a border state problem. A border state problem. Well, how do you have a sanctuary city if you're not a sanctuary for people who crossed in a state to come in illegally? It's lost on me.
Amen, as they say in church.
That's right. All right. Coming back, more Midday Mobile. We are live in the nation's capital with naked women, shirtless guys, marijuana smoke, and the fair Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. It's Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. You can hang out for a second.
Yeah.
See if he's sticking around. All right. Come right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5 live at the fair. Hold their feet. Feet to the fire.
Yeah, wait, it's
hold their feet to the fire. They're going to pull up my nose here. Yeah, hold their feet to the fire event in Washington, D.C. Glad to be back up here, even with all the sideshows that we've been seeing. That's the voice of the most popular fill-in host for Midday Mobile.
Most listened to. Fill-in host in Alabama.
Right, but let's talk about Midday Mobile. it's Yaffe, and it's good to have him on. He's up here doing his show as well, as we have a pretty strong Alabama contingent. The number of Alabama talk show hosts out here, I think we outnumber, I think all the, maybe Texas has some more hosts.
I don't know. Yeah, Alabama's like dominant.
Yes, so
as it should be.
So we've got a legacy and tradition around here. Oh, by the way, too, I said this to Dalton as we went into the news break. You know, I left town for a day, y'all. A day, one day, and next thing I know, the Mobile terrorists that terrorized the citizens and each other was shooting each other and shooting at innocent people and all that. Now are shooting at, here's a story from WKRG. Mobile police said someone fired several rounds at officers on patrol in the Birdville community on Tuesday night. Police spokeswoman Katrina Frazier said there are several bullet holes in a police vehicle, but no officers were injured. Thank God. Police are still looking for the person or persons responsible. I'm going to say this, not that I have inside knowledge, but I would say this is a highly motivated investigation when somebody's shooting, when the patrol cars are getting shot up. What do you tell people in the neighborhood about their safety when the criminals are shooting holes into the police vehicles? I mean, if you didn't, I mean, I'd be like, I'm out. I'm leaving.
Yeah, it's sick.
It's bad. So I left y'all for one day. Can't do any better than that. All right. Well, we're talking immigration, and obviously the star of that discussion, at least if you're somebody like Yaffe, like me, that believes in the rule of law and enforcing the rule of law. The star of that show is the governor to our south and east of Alabama, and that is Ron DeSantis. I know Abbott's PO'd now. It's like, this is my thing, and it's been done better. This is like,
I mean,
Abbott was MySpace, and DeSantis is like Facebook, you know, on this message.
I know Abbott, there's talk that he wants to run for president too, but I mean, I don't think he has a chance.
There's no chance after this. I mean, messaging-wise, he's gotten destroyed. It's like,
he's not DeSantis. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
He's not. So what happens here at this point when you have this political theater that gets this discussion going? It was Cuellar or somebody heard the other day, Democrats, there are a few Democrats now, are saying, you know, we can't continue this. They're breaking with the stride of the Biden administration.
I mean, I hope you're right, but I'll tell you what I've noticed in terms of messaging from the other side. They're talking about, well, the way to fix this is comprehensive immigration reform. That's what I hear. Now, what I really hear is amnesty, because that's what they want to do. They just want to let them in. You know, that's, oh, just let him in, and then that'll be the solution, I guess.
Well, yeah, if there's, if it's not, if you make it not illegal to cross the border, yeah, then there's no illegal immigration.
Exactly.
There? That's the quick fix. If you're tired of people speeding, well, you just get rid of the speed limit, and then nobody's speeding.
Exactly. I mean, they're making it seem like, they're trying to make it seem like this is Republicans' fault because they won't pass immigration reform.
Uh-huh.
That seems to be the strategy. I don't know if that's going to work because most people understand, okay, secure the border first, then we can talk about immigration reform, but you need to secure the border. Now, the other thing I've noticed they're doing, and this started today, is they're saying Republicans are fear-mongering. Uh-huh. Like when we talk about fentanyl,
yes,
which is a serious issue. No, no, Republicans are just fear-mongering. It's not that serious.
So, let's see. The increase in fentanyl deaths in the last year was a 38% rise, I believe.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's weird when you just cite statistics,
right,
and that's considered fear-mongering.
Fear-mongering. How about this? I legal immigration is something that people probably say Sean's left on that, because I'm for legal immigration. We are a nation of immigrants. I'm down with that. There's some people that it is a rule of law question for me. Why have a rule of law and not enforce it? And then when you don't enforce it, you incentivize this behavior that puts people in risky situations and puts our whole nation, let alone the cost to our nation. We can't afford ourselves as it is, and the cost of dealing with people that are not net taxpayers, but they're getting services. You think it costs a lot to fly some 50 people to Martha's Vineyard? Try dealing with 3 million illegal immigrants in our country.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why you have an orderly process. Obviously, we want some immigrants to be able to come in. But when you have a disorderly process like this, you don't know who's coming in. But also, there are, what, 8 billion people in the world?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the vast majority of them would love to come to America. So we just let them all in? I mean, you just open the border and let 5 billion people come into our country or something? Obviously, you can't do that. It would destroy the country. So, yeah, you can have a legal... Trump said he wanted a wide-open door,
uh-huh,
but they got to come in legally, and there's a process, and there's
correct,
a limit and everything else.
Correct. Or just... Maybe the debate should be... immigration reform, does this mean, this Democrats, that there's no border? It's just whoever wants to come in. And if that's it, then say it. Then argue that case. Say,
can't.
No, but that's what they're getting at, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is this half... cocked way of doing things. Oh yeah, we have a law, we have a border, we're not gonna, like, we're gonna have 18 million ways to work over the system, but yeah, there's a border. No, what you want is no border. So Democrats argue that.
I'm afraid, you know, some like AOC might try. That's what kind of scares me, but you're right.
Gaffey, I would respect that more if somebody would come out and just say, I don't believe there should be a border. I think people should just be able to walk in here and get all the rights of U.S. citizens and get all the benefits of U.S. If they said that, I disagree with them, but at least they're making a honest argument versus what is happening here in Washington.
Yeah, there's no doubt the left isn't being honest. I mean, libertarians kind of believe that.
Yes.
That open border. And that's why I can't join with libertarian. I'm very libertarian on a lot of things,
right,
but I can't on the border issue. That's why.
Well, you are what people say. I'm a pragmatic libertarian.
Yeah.
Right? So when I was young, I was idealistic libertarian. As an elderly citizen now, I'm a pragmatic libertarian. There are things just like that that I buck with the libertarians on. You do have to have, at that point, only if every nation removed its borders, then you might have it. But if we're the one to remove the border, that's, you know how osmosis works, right? Everything would flow into here.
Well, not only that, but you can't have open border and a welfare state. You just can't, because you will
fail.
Yeah,
you will go down. You know, the end of empires are bloody and bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And bankrupt. Yeah, I mean, you think about, not to be history nerd here, but look at the fall of Rome. Right, it was not just the barbarians that did it. It was, Rome had spent itself into a place where it couldn't afford itself, and people came in and they didn't challenge it, and look what happened.
And it was a destruction of the culture, and we could get into that. Of
absolutely,
course,
we can.
Fortunately, there's echoes nowadays.
Yes. All right. Somebody wants to reach out to you and maybe on social media find out more about this woman you saw this morning. How do they do it?
I'm a little scared now, but you can follow me on Twitter at Yaffe.
Okay.
Yaffe, my last name, Yaffee. That's how you spell it. Or like the Yaffe Facebook page as well.
All right, do that. And then, yeah, he'll give you a play-by-play of what he saw this morning walking by.
I do
by.
Not have pictures. I did not take a
He's
picture.
He's telling you he doesn't have pictures. Ugh. So we're going to have to go through his phone here in a little bit. She did have a towel, though, right? A shawl.
Over her shoulder.
A shawl.
The covered part of her back. That's about it.
See, there you go. Our nation's capital, y'all. Yaffe, thank you, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile. We are live in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., for the Federation for American Immigration Reform Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. And it's we'll talk more about this and the situation in Washington. I have a congressman coming on tomorrow on the show. Next hour, the Davises, ranchers that talk to me every year, I'm up here. They have a ranch that is on the border. Their stories of what it's like to be on the front lines of this this discussion, which is real life for them, is fascinating. So make sure you don't miss that. And y'all say hello to my buddy, David McCrary, LCM Motor Cars. And you got a pair of Escalades to talk about with us.
We do, Sean. I got a pair of 2018 Escalades. They're the long versions, the suburban type Escalades. Both of them are white diamond. Both of them are luxury editions. They are very nice vehicles. Both have under 100,000 miles, and both of them are $6,000 back of NADA.
Wow. Okay. Got a lot of people's attention. So let me ask you the second part of that formula. We're going to get financing on that. How's it looking out there?
Financing is great. We can probably get 84 months on that vehicle if you wanted it to keep your payments down. And somebody that, you know, that wants to pay it off early, we can get 48 or 60. But the rate on 84 is still going to be really, really good on that truck. And we can also get secondary financing. If you've had some credit problems on that type of truck, you want to put a good down payment down, come see us. We'll let you ride in something like that.
Good stuff. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore, 1 mile south of I-10. Give us a call, 251-375-0068, or go to the website. There's pictures of both of them on the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Hey, thanks, David.
Get them straight up there.
We're trying. There he is, David McCrary with LCM Motor Cars. And, okay, this hour I said, again, we talk immigration. Also talk Russia. And discussions we had last week on the show is where's the off-ramp? Where's the off-ramp for Putin in this? Because he's looking for one, right? Where is it set up to give him an off-ramp? Is it with his latest threat here? Now, and also, before I came over and started the show today, I checked in with President Biden speaking to the UN, and he was, Lord knows, he said what he said at the UN. Pretty soon, the administration people will come out, and because, you know, when the president says something, then you have to wait for that to be turned around by the administration officials and say, well, that's not really what he meant. But he was pretty direct language on what the United States' reactions might be. Well, let me get back to the beginning of this. If you didn't hear, so Putin is threatening nukes. Now, they've done it before, right? They've intimated, well, you know, we have nukes, and, you know, you and I, we've been talking about it on the show for a long time. But is this the next level? Here's the story. So Vladimir Putin issued a chilling new threat. This is from the Daily Mail. Said Vladimir Putin today issued a chilling threat to use nuclear weapons against the West, telling world leaders to back off Ukraine while warning, I'm not bluffing. And I think the key there, too, is against the West. Okay, and that it's not specifically just Ukraine. I mean, this is interesting. In addition, a mobilization going on of 300,000 military reserves. So, which they point out is the first in Russia since the Second World War, and gave the go-ahead for referendums to be held in occupied areas of Ukraine that would make them part of Russia in the Kremlin eyes, at least. And that's the People's Republic of fill it in, Donetsk or Luhansk or Kherson, and yeah, they've got this. That part is, I think, insignificant to the bigger discussion. Number one, this direct threat of using nuclear weapons against the West. goes on to say, Putin's gambit comes after Ukraine routed a large part of the Russian army last week, leaving him backed into a corner of his own making and facing a possible collapse of his so-called special military operation. But rather than back down, the Russian leader has instead chosen to double down and hold the free world ransom, putting Russia and its huge nuclear arsenal on a direct collision course with Ukraine and its allies, who have already vowed not to accept the results of sham referendums. Okay. So this question about using the nuclear weapons, and remember, this is coming off of his meeting with Xi recently as well. So you wonder if there wasn't some discussion that China was going to be a more open partner with Russia, because China's been playing this kind of down the middle, right? Obviously, they're in bed with Russia, but they don't come out and completely say the invasion of Ukraine is okay. But maybe there's some kind of discussion that has China on board for these direct threats of using nuclear weapons. In addition to that, that mobilization of those 300,000 Russians, remember we talked about this in the beginning of this invasion, that if the Russians needed to, they will throw manpower into the meat grinder one after another after another after another till their enemies are all dead, even if it's a 5-to-1 ratio. Okay, so that also, though, brings up the political discussion in Russia for those that believe what the Kremlin says, that it's a special military operation. It's not a war. Remember, you can't even call it a war in Russia. They could go to jail if you call it a war in Russia. So you mobilize 300,000 for that. So the bigger question there, too, is what's happening inside Russia with the politics when this is coming out. So they're basically, it's the draft is on. The mobilization, they call it, is on. 300,000 people into the Russian army. I think what they're doing, the first waves are people that are like reservist or had been with the army now have to show back up. And the people that we're going to cycle out don't get to cycle out. But then you're going to have to replace those reservists, and that's probably where they will go with the draft in Russia. So now you've got two things. So you've got the nuclear portion of it, and then you've got a mobilized army that is, even for the Russians who have to listen to state TV or watch state TV, it's a war. So it is something on the... this is a side note here. A former Russian MP and Putin advisor has declared that British cities will be targeted by Putin's nukes in a barefaced tirade yesterday morning on the Today program. Sergei Markov had barely exchanged pleasantries with BBC Radio 4 host Justin Webb, but he launched into a series of threats about nuclear war. He says this: "It's not a good morning for everybody. In Russia, there's a partial mobilization, and for your British listeners, Vladimir Putin told you that he would be ready to use nuclear weapons against Western countries, including against Great Britain. Your cities will be targeted," said Markov, who was elected to the Russian State Duma in 2007, representing Putin's United Russia Party, now professor of international relations at Moscow University. Okay, goes on to say this: "If Great Britain will continue to be the aggressor against Russia, if Prime Minister of Great Britain Liz Truss has a plan to destroy Russia, people in London should understand the threat of nuclear weapons." Now, it's pretty direct. So it's not just the, hey, we have nuclear weapon discussion that went on. It's continued since February, right, with the Russians. But this is the somebody who's an inside said, you know what? Not only are we going to use them, we're going to use them against the West. We're not just going to use them in Ukraine. We're going to use them against the West. So, and before I even look at the text line, somebody would be like, well, that's because, you know, they're helping Ukraine. So where would be the off-ramp at this point? Would you say, okay, we're going to stop helping Ukraine because you're threatening to nuke places in the West? What kind of message does that send? But do you then continue with what you're doing and risk this? Do you think Putin's crazy enough to do this? This is it's a half a world away. That makes me scared. In addition, I worry, like I said last week, I worry that we're going to look at some kind of accident. I'm air quoting here, an accident at a nuclear power plant somewhere in Ukraine. It'll be set up to look like it was Ukrainians that did it or so, and then you'll have radioactive fallout going over Western Europe. But These are the things coming from that war. Your thoughts on this when we come back at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, the latest here on former President Trump. I know we talked about Governor DeSantis a bunch in the beginning of the show, which I still think brand-wise, DeSantis at Brands on the Rise is the Trump brand on the way down. Well, New York has now sued the Trump family over fraud claims and maybe $250 million in penalties. We'll talk more about that story coming up in just minutes on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. We are live at the fair. Hold their feet to the fire. And you, fair, it's not like a, which by the way, it's fair time here pretty shortly too, in Mobile. But this is a different fair. This is Federation for American Immigration Reform. And good to be back up here in Washington. It's going to be good tomorrow too. A little preview of tomorrow's show. Acting Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Patrol under former President Trump, Mark Morgan, is going to join me. Also, AL2's Barry Moore. And I hadn't figured, I mean, officially I should call him Attorney General Sessions, but for me it's always Senator Sessions. Will join us on tomorrow's show as well. Coming up later on in this show, Peggy and Fred Davis, ranchers that join me each year to talk about their situation on the front lines of this immigration for them, a war where they are. They're going to talk about that. Also, Dale Leash from Landnap joins us in just a little bit. Heads up as well, if you're getting ready to get the boat out for some fall fishing, maybe some things that were broken over the summertime, or you just want to make sure the service work is done, get it done with my buddy Forrest and the crew at Blue Water Yacht Sales. By the way, bluewateryachtsales.net if you want to check them out online. They are a five-star Yamaha service center. They have a master tech on staff. There's only four in our entire area. And a full line of services, warranty work, repair. They check warranty on anything needing work or parts. And they specialize in custom outfitting their product lines. But if you're saying, well, Sean, I don't have a Yamaha, it's okay. They service all makes and models. And what I love, too, is not only will they work on the engines, if you want them to go through it, they're going to look at everything like bilge pumps, running lights, all the things on the boat that make it safe and make it fun out there. So get the engine work done, get all the problems on the boat fixed, and get ready for a great trip next time you go out. So your job now is just to set up an appointment to drop off that boat. Phone number 476-2699, 476-2699, bluewateryachtsales.net, or just Google Blue Water Yacht Sales. They've been doing it for 50 years in our area. They're easy to find right on the Beltline. Once again, Blue Water Yacht Sales. All right. Oh, by the way, too, one of the stories you can check out at 1819news.com is a story that was comes from an interview that Secretary of State John Merrill did with Dan and Dalton the other morning. And this will be interesting. So here's the headline. The headline is Secretary of State Merrill predicts record turnout for the November 8th midterm elections. I don't think so. I'm not trying to just disagree. I don't know that maybe I'm still so unimpressed by what happened last time that maybe I don't think we're going to be at those levels that he's predicting. It says in the story in 2018, more than 1.7 million registered voters participated in that year's midterm elections in Alabama. Secretary of State John Merrill anticipates at least that many voters will turn out for this year's midterm elections on November 8th. Do you feel that's coming? Maybe I'm missing something. Well, you can go, if you go check out the story or our podcast page or go to the app, you can listen to the interview that the Secretary of State did with Dana Dalton and check out him making that prediction. So we'll see. I'd like to hear from you on the text line or the phone line. Do you see us heading towards a record turnout? Maybe I'm just in this every day and I'm missing something. I don't feel it's coming. I mean, I don't think it's going to be anemic, but I don't think it's going to be a record turnout. All right, in the story I mentioned before we went to the break, so more of the story of New York versus Donald Trump, right? So this story from CNBC, New York sues Donald Trump company and family members over widespread fraud claims and seeks at least $250 million in penalties. So New York Attorney General Letitia James, this morning I guess it came out, the Attorney General there in New York is suing former President Trump specifically, then the Trump Organization, and then three of the Trump children. So these are all, I guess, separate suits. It says they alleging widespread fraud involving false financial statements related to the company. Here's some of the details here. They said the civil lawsuit filed in the Manhattan Supreme Court. So once again, it's not criminal. It's a civil lawsuit. So the attorney general is like suing to get money back. So the civil lawsuit filed in the Manhattan Supreme Court seats at least $250 million in damages to permanently bar Trump, Donald Trump Jr., Eric Trump, and Ivanka Trump from serving as an officer of a company in New York and permanently prohibiting the Trump company's name named in the lawsuit from doing business in New York State. James also said she was referring evidence obtained in the course of a three-year investigation. You've heard this going on to federal prosecutors in Manhattan as well to the IRS, saying she believes her civil investigation has found violations of federal criminal laws. Now, you know, it usually works the other way around, right? That there's a criminal trial and then there's a civil, right? That's how these things. OJ, the OJ, right? They didn't go with the, they couldn't find guilt in the criminal, but they found guilt in the civil. Different levels of what you have to present, right, in those two cases. So this is interesting because it's backwards. They went with the civil, and the AG there in New York says, well, I found things here in the civil that are going to be violations of criminal. So what, was there not a real criminal investigation in the first place? James went on to say Trump falsely inflated his net worth by billions of dollars. James said the Trump then massively overstated the values of his assets to obtain more favorable loan and insurance term for his company, as well as to lower its tax obligations. So they said all told, Mr. Trump, the Trump Organization, and the other defendants, as part of their repeated pattern and common scheme, derived more than 200 false and misleading valuations of assets, including 11 statements covering 2011 through 2021. So once again, why do you lead with a civil investigation into this, a civil case, and not a criminal? Does seem odd to me. All right. Matt had asked from the text. I missed text for a while here. Matt said, isn't Martha's Vineyard an island on the coast? Doesn't that make it a border location? This texture says, I guess, discussing the shooting at a police vehicle that happened. Like I said, I left y'all for a day and people were shooting police vehicles. Maximus says, hashtag safest city, my backside. I'll edit that one on the fly. Gus says, nationalism is bad. Borders are obsolete with globalism. And Don says, oh, am I in the mobile command unit? No, I'm not in the mobile command unit. You said in mind the mobile command unit, you can hear sirens coming to get me for being publicly contact high. Yes, well, there are sirens coming back and forth here through our nation's capital, where I am today doing the show in Washington, but I don't think they're coming for me, but you never know. You know, last year, we had protesters out in front of our hotel room, or our hotel that we stay at here, and I'm really disappointed that we don't have them this year, because it's kind of fun. I mean, you know, it's not every day you get to walk out and have people screaming at you in the street that you're, you know, call you everything but a child of God. I don't know if they're waiting for tomorrow, or maybe they'll be there when we get back to the hotel, because where we do this radio show is in the Fox News building in Washington. So it's just about a block down from where we stay at the hotel. And we're on the patio, rooftop patio or whatever here. I think C-SPAN is in here. Fox News is in here. There's an NBC bureau downstairs. There's a place that has really good bacon sandwiches, bacon egg sandwiches downstairs, too. And then our hotel is about a block and a half away. But, yeah, last year they would be outside the hotel screaming at us as we'd walk in or walk out. You know, they'd see, oh, you have your badge on. They know what you're here for. And they you know, scream bloody murder. Now it's just, you know, the guy who was screaming earlier because he didn't want to wear a shirt in the store. And he screamed at them. And then the people smoking weed. And just, nope. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm pretty disappointed with the turnout here for, I want to be protested. I mean, it makes you feel like you're doing something, right? Have not been protested yet. But, you know, maybe those sirens, Don, are coming for me. Maybe they're going to haul us away. There's no protest because there's going to be a big raid, a big Mar-a-Lago-style raid that's going to be heading our way. Maybe that's what's getting ready to happen. As we go into the next hour, they're going to be dragging us out of here. It's quite possible. Also, the Axios story. And you see this. Now, it's Florida, but you can say both men are Florida residents. New poll out showing DeSantis leading Trump in a hypothetical Florida primary. The story from Axios came out today, said Governor Ron DeSantis may have an edge among voters in his own state over former President Trump. According to a USA Today Suffolk University poll, it says a hypothetical 2024 primary in Florida, DeSantis leads Trump 48% to 40. Now, once again, you know, both Florida guys, but I would say as a brand in Florida, I don't know, the governor and name, you know, he's not coming at this from a deficit. So they got DeSantis 48, Trump 40. They said this compared to January when Trump led DeSantis by 7 points in that same poll. They said nationally, the Politico Morning Consult poll that came out said 52% of respondents said they would vote for Trump if the GOP primary were being held today, compared to 19 saying the same for DeSantis. So obviously a big gulf between those two polls, but this one right here has a 8-point lead for DeSantis. And I tell you right now, every day that goes on, like we opened up the show, you know that Abbott must be kicking himself saying, hey, that's my thing. And DeSantis has taken it and really led with it and leading the news out there on it. All right, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. We are live at the Federation for American Immigration Reform Hold Their Feet to the Fire event in Washington, D.C. We'll also get your text at 251-343-0106. This is FM Talk 106.5. Be right back.